Hello, and welcome to the first interview in the series Coffee with Craig, in which I interview some interesting people. My first interview was with Martin, who I've known for many years, so I knew I'd feel relaxed about interviewing him. I was a bit nervous about doing my first interview, so I was very pleased when Martin said yes. I was hoping he'd speak about his travels in Africa and the Sudan, and he didn't disappoint. You can see the edited video version of the interview on our Mansion Inglés YouTube channel. Here's the full unedited audio interview with Martin. Enjoy.
Surprised you don't like chocolate.
I've never really liked chocolate. It's strange, I know. Fried eggs is something else. I really abhor. It's even watching people eat them is just, for me, it's disgusting. It's a runniness of the yolk. Because I'll have eggs in, for example, I'll have an omelette or something like that, tortilla, hard-boiled egg. But anything runny, it's really strange. Because I eat all kinds of food. I eat offal, I've eaten, some people say offal is awful. It's a good way to remember the word, actually.
Chaos, isn't it?
Chaos is tripe, is one thing. Okay. But then you've got liver, you've got kidney, you've got stomach.
I don't mind.
But it's all offal. Offal is everything, I think, if you look at the dictionary, everything that's inside an animal's body. Or a person, I don't know. But I haven't eaten a person, as far as I know.
So,
tell me.
How did we meet?
It was in 1995.
Oh, you prepared
this? It was in 1995, yes, and I can tell you, you've hardly aged a day.
Oh, thank you very
much.
You've
aged about 3,000 days.
It was in 1995
in Abbey, 18 years. No, well, what year are we? 18 years.
18 years, wow.
Yeah. It was in a summer school, well, it was a boarding school the year round. I think you were teaching there, but in the summer it also acted as a typical place for summer courses and so on. And I taught there for 3 years on the trot. And I think it was my third and final summer there. And you came back, you'd been in Spain visiting your family out there.
That's right.
And we met in the staff room there, in that big staff room with all those armchairs and stuff in.
You've been teaching longer than me, because I started maybe a couple of years before Abbey College, but you were teaching
long
before.
I've been teaching a long time. I started in England in a secondary school in the south of England, in Essex, in a place called Witham. And I taught there for 1.5 years, but I didn't really enjoy it very much. And the teenagers were, well, not my cup of tea, to be honest. And so I always wanted to work abroad. So I applied for a few things, jobs in the Times Educational Supplement, sent off applications, and eventually ended up teaching in Sudan.
Are you taught in Sudan?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you went there just to travel.
No. I was 5 years teaching in Sudan. I started off in the north of the country, in a town next to the Nile, not far from the capital there, Khartoum. And I was there for a year, and then I was in the south of the country for 2.5 years. The south, which is now an independent country, has become South Sudan a couple of years back. And after that, I was in the east of the country near the Ethiopian border for a year. And did lots of travelling while I was there.
So you worked there and then you went travelling after?
Both at the same time. I mean, for example, at the end of the first year, I went to Egypt for 6 weeks. We travelled up by Felucca along the Nile, which was really romantic. Another year, we went to a Central African Republic, which is one of the countries which borders Sudan. We went there by lorry. Many people there travel on top of a lorry. It's the cheapest way, easiest way, or in many ways the only way to travel. Ended up in Safa, in Central African Republic, in a town called Bangassou. And from there, I walked back to Sudan, which is about 350 miles walking, because it's the only means of transport. Okay, and it was something which didn't really plan to do it, but the circumstances provided themselves. A friend I was with had to go back to Switzerland for business reasons, and I thought, well, it's a chance to go. It was the only route at the time back to South Sudan, because there's a civil war going on, so the other routes were cut, so this was the only way to travel.
And how did you move around?
On this walk. or just basically walking. I used to get up early in the morning, walk for a couple of hours carrying a heavy rucksack, 20 or 30 kilos or something. There was a lot of water around, so I'd stop by a river, make a fire, boil some coffee. You could buy along the route from some small villages and towns tins of sardines, rice, beans, fruit. There's lots of mangoes, pineapples, etc. And then basically stop somewhere in a village for lunch. Sometimes there would be a small cafe, but usually ordinary people would invite me into their huts to eat. And then around the evening time, 5 o'clock, stop, ask for the chief of the village, ask for him to, you know, where I could stay. And usually they found me something. It could be inside a grain store, could be inside a school, could be simply outside in my sleeping bag. And it was a really
quite
great experience. Yeah,
so
yeah.
The UK and then Sudan, and then did you come to Spain straight after?
More or less straight after. After 5 years in Sudan, basically the civil war was kicking off. The scheme which I was on was coming to an end anyway. So it was time to look for something else. So I remember applying for various jobs in Mediterranean countries, Italy, Greece, Portugal, I don't really remember. And I got an interview for a job in Gijón, in Asturias.
I remember that.
Yeah, I said, yeah, that's where I'd been teaching when I first met you. I was
right.
There. But basically there was no summer work, so I was forced to look for something to...
So it was a coincidence, especially...
It was a coincidence, you know. I knew nothing about Asturias before coming to Spain, you know. And most people's image of Spain is, you know, the costas, flamenco, etc. And Asturias is very different. It rained a lot more, it does rain a lot more, it's greener, it's very, very different.
So I've been here since 97, and you've been here since...
Well, I first came here in 1988. 88. Now, I was in Asturias for 5 years. After that, I was in Cardiff for 2 years. Basically, I had a girlfriend at the time from Gijón, and she got a job as a teaching assistant in a South Wales school. So I thought, well, let's go. Let's have a bit of a venture in Cardiff, you know? It wasn't so bad, Cardiff, you know? It's nice enough. And then after that, I returned to Gijón for a year. Then I was in Zaragoza for a year, teaching there, following which I taught in Hospitalet de Llobregat, which is more or less in the greater Barcelona, it's next to Barcelona, for 2 years. And then I came here in 1999.
What's been the most difficult thing about living here, now that you've been here for a while?
Nothing that was really that difficult, because compared to Sudan, it's really very safe. Very similar to Britain. I mean, I came from a country in Sudan where I would go to the market in the morning, buy a live chicken, and then kill it myself in the evening, pluck it, cook it, eat it. And here, go to the supermarket and buy one. You know, I came from a country where I would, where I had, on two or three occasions, eaten live termites, and I come here, and obviously the food's very different.
Live termites.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not a very common delicacy, okay, but people in the country, in certain parts of the country, do it because it's a source of food, it's nutrition, it's, you know,
protein.
Or whatever they have, I don't know what they have. It's a strange experience because, well, I won't go into that.
No, tell us.
Well, no, they only come up, I don't know, there must be various kinds of termites, I have no idea about termite terminology. But they only come up when it's raining. So what these people used to do was get like saucepans or saucepan lids and bang them to mimic the sound of rainfall. And then they would come up and all crawling, okay? And then I imagine that they would collect them and then fry them, which they did after. But what they first did, because they were hungry, is put them straight into the mouth.
How big were they?
Like this. Yeah, something like
beetles.
This. Yeah, I don't know. They weren't beetles as such. They were... It was like a kind of... Parts were crunchy and parts were slimy. You know, it was really strange. And you put them in your mouth and you can feel them crumbling. They die very quickly, obviously, you know? But it's the same for me. You eat a live animal or you eat it dead. What's the difference?
Moving on. Martin, what do you enjoy most about teaching?
Communicating with people, when students are laughing, because I think when they're laughing, normally they're learning. Just the contact. Enjoying finding out about them and letting them find out about me. Yeah, that's what I enjoy most. Actually, you know, being in the class, talking to people.
And what do you dislike about it?
The repetition, teaching, present perfect for about the, you know, umpteenth time.
Do you like to change levels?
I'm not so keen on teaching proficiency. There's too much marking involved, okay? Too much preparation involved. I think I prefer teaching around levels, you know, first certificate, level six, etc. They're my favourite ones. Beginners, not bad, you know, but a little bit of variation is good. Yeah. When students don't understand and they get frustrated and you can't find a way to explain to them, then it can be difficult.
So you're affected by their frustration?
Of course. I think it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Are you happy to continue the way you've been working the last few years since you've been here in Valencia, or would you like to get involved in materials development, management?
Not particularly. Management, certainly not. Management certainly not is something I wouldn't touch with a barge pole. As far as materials development, I've got no real big ambitions, to be honest. I prefer teaching. I'm not into teacher training particularly. I'm not into resources writing, you know. I just prefer the teaching part above all.
What's your most embarrassing moment in the classroom?
I haven't had too many really embarrassing moments as such. I mean, the kind of things which happen to us all, we write a word on the board and we realise 20 minutes later that it's spelt wrongly. Or the other day, for example, someone asked me the difference between one another and each other. And I started explaining, talking about two people and three people, and I suddenly realised I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. I didn't know, you know. I've looked it up since on the internet, and evidently they're more or less interchangeable and have been for a number of years.
So there's no difference? One another?
Ooh, one another, each other. Somebody told me this morning, because I was talking about this, said that one another is a bit more formal.
Okay.
And each other is more informal. But we, you know, Shakespeare, Dickens, etc., all use them interchangeably.
So talk to one another or talk to each other has the same...
I think so. You know, that's my take on things anyway, yeah? But really embarrassing moments, no. I've never fallen over. I've never, you know, no.
What advice do you have for Spanish speakers learning English?
Right. But number one, for example, people who come here to the council, they have their 4 hours a week. It's not enough. They need to do the homework. They need to do extra exercises. They need to practice as much as possible. They can't expect to come here and only in 4 hours a week progress as quickly as they want to.
Yeah, that's quite a false expectation, I think they have. They pay their money, and it's not cheap.
It's not cheap at all.
They expect in the 4 hours
exactly.
to learn
They expect it. You know, they learn something, obviously. Otherwise, well, they wouldn't keep coming. But they need to do more. Mm. Now, I understand they have time pressures, they have, you know, the family, work, other stuff, etc. But you really do need to put time aside for a foreign language. You know, I tell them also, it's no good, for example, on a Friday night doing the homework which I've given them the previous Saturday or whatever. You know, do it as soon as you can.
And or try five, to or do, 5 minutes before
or
the
five
lesson.
5 minutes before the lesson on the metro on the way here. No, I mean, 10 minutes, 15 minutes every day, even if it's just reading the internet in English, reading a book, writing a few sentences, something each day is not difficult to do.
That's very good advice.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're not here? Do you have any hobbies?
Well,
do you work elsewhere?
I give some private classes, yes, okay, if anyone's interested. And no, I mean, I live with my partner and we have a son who's 9 years old, so obviously that takes up a lot of my time, you know, with cooking and generally living with them and doing things in the flat. Hobbies, I enjoy cycling. I don't cycle very quickly, but I like going out at the weekends. I enjoy travelling, reading. I look at the internet quite a lot. I listen to, you know, all kinds of music. Various stuff. I like writing too.
What do you
I
write?
Enjoy writing.
Creative writing?
I try to do some creative writing. I mean, I always write, for example, when we go on the holiday, I write up a little...
Oh, I do that
too. A diary. And we have like a scrapbook and with some photos and even one or two bills that we put and we just for...
Yeah, we do the same.
Yeah, it's great. Good idea.
This is a question I'm going to ask everybody during this series. In an ideal world, what would your life be like?
I wouldn't be working. Now, I wouldn't be working teaching. Now, that may sound contradictory after I said that I enjoy teaching, but every Friday at 4, I have to be here. Every Monday at 7:30, I have to be here. I'd like to pick and choose. So in an ideal world, I would have won the lottery, and I would be able maybe to give some private classes to people, but on a much more casual basis. You know, it's having to be here. In an ideal world, I'd be a bit younger because I don't fancy dying. Okay, I'm not going to die just yet, thanks, but I would be a bit younger. I would be doing more travelling. It's one thing.
Anywhere in particular?
South America, back to Sudan, other countries in, I don't know, Papua New Guinea. I had the chance to go there when I was 23 or 24. I was accepted by the VSO, Voluntary Service Overseas. I was about to go, but I was in love at the time. And I thought the girl was more important than Papua New Guinea. And 3 months later we split up, but, well, the chance had gone.
Well, there's still time for you to get there.
There's time for me to go there, yes.
If you could change something about yourself, what would you change?
I think I'm too impatient. I can't stand waiting like many people, but I think my anxiety transmits itself to the people I'm with, and they get nervous as well. So at least as far as my character is concerned, impatience.
Do you mean in situations where you have to queue?
Yeah, queuing, waiting. You know, I'm always the first person to arrive at an airport, you know, and then I'm ages there doing nothing, getting bored, but I can't help it because I'm thinking, well, what happens if a car breaks down? What happens if there's a problem on the underground or something like that? You know, so far too early for things, but it's okay.
I think you've already answered this, but if you had €6,000 to spend on yourself, what would you buy?
Well, it's a good question. If it was only for me, my family had their own source of income, it definitely would be a long holiday in South America or Africa. Not staying in expensive hotels, but, you know, staying in cheap youth hostels, camping, that kind of thing, eating local food, meeting as far as possible local people, yeah, actually living the country, yeah? Or, at this moment, a new kitchen, to be quite honest, because I enjoy cooking. I enjoy cooking. I'm not fantastically good at it, but I enjoy it. And the kitchen we have is a bit of a disaster. It's something we've been thinking about, but...
Are you planning for that?
We are sort of planning for it. Yeah, and we need a new fridge as well, but it keeps breaking. But stuff like that, you know. A nice library would be good as well, yeah. Although I've probably got far too many books as it is. But it would be nice, because I like looking at them all on the wall, and, you know, that would be great.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Oh, okay, thank you very much indeed.
I hope you enjoyed that interview, and thank you very much for listening. Please remember to write a review on iTunes for us so that more people can find our podcasts. And you can comment on this interview and on the YouTube video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mansionengles or tweet me on Twitter at @mansiontwit. Bye for now.